thankful for the peace in the midst of the storm. Open your Bibles, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 4. And I'm going to review the verses here in just a moment. And then I'm going to preach from verse number 16 and just two words there that I'll show you in just a moment. I'm preaching today on the subject, when will God's grace come? When will God's grace come? Let's bow our heads in prayer and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts in the message. Heavenly Father, I pause to pray because I am in such need of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to give, Lord, an outline of a sermon. I want to give a truth that goes beyond just our thinking and goes into our very being, carried by the Holy Spirit of God, that will affect, Lord, our lives today. I ask you to fill me with your Spirit. I yield to you the best way I know how. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The Bible says in this passage of Scripture, verse number 16, let us therefore, why? Because God cares about us. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. And then notice the phrase, find grace to help in time of need. I want to focus on that little line at the end of the verse that says, and find grace to help in time of need. And if you have a pencil and you mark your Bible, underline those two little words, in time. In time. Grace in time of need. Let me give you six statements about this passage of Scripture. Some I have given in another sermon. You may recall them. But I want to give you six statements to lay the foundation of the message this morning. Number one, in verse number 14, the Bible says, God is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. God is touched. What does that mean? God has feelings. He has emotions for us. He is touched. He is moved in emotion. Now, it doesn't say that He is touched just with our infirmity, but He says with the feeling of our infirmity. You see, the injury is one thing, and the pain of the injury is another. So God doesn't just care about the injury, He cares about the pain that comes from the injury. You hear a baby cry, you are touched by their cry first. That's the feeling of their problem. Now, it could be a lie when you get there to that child, because sometimes they will cry when nothing's wrong. We would never do that, but a baby will, and we're touched by their cry. So God's touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Second of all, I want you to notice it is our responsibility to go to God in prayer. Sometimes we wait until we're in trouble before we go to God in prayer. Prayer should be a daily part of our life, and a problem ought to be taken to God in its beginning, not in its full a problem in our life, but we ought to spend time with God every day in prayer. And when we have a need, we ought to go to God in prayer with that need. You've heard me use this illustration, but I think of the story of the disciples that were in the boat with the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship and he was asleep. The Bible said there came a great storm so that the wind and waves, the waves came over into the boat, and they finally woke up Jesus with this question. Lord, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you care about us? That's sort of a dumb question for them to ask Jesus, but I've got a question for the disciples. Why would you wait until you were near drown before you called on Jesus? Why did you wait so long? I mean, the boat is nearly full of water. Don't wait till the boat gets full of water. It is our responsibility to go to God in prayer. We learn in this passage of Scripture. Third of all, I want you to notice we're to come boldly. Now, the word boldly means to come courageously or without timidity or fear. We're to come with confidence. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Do you believe that God loves you this morning? I do. And I believe that God is a rewarder, and I can go boldly. I don't have to go in fear. Doesn't matter how small, doesn't matter how insignificant the problem may be. I go to God because God cares about me. Number four, he says, the first thing we'll find is that we will obtain mercy. And that is a good thing. It's not the purpose of the message today, but I'm thankful for the mercy of God. Mercy is God not giving me what I do deserve. If God punished us every time we did wrong, we would be in a heap of trouble, but He is in a merciful God. Number five, I want you to see the phrase, we find grace to help us. Now, let me define this word grace. And I want to tell you, it is a huge word. And I'll not fully define the word, but it is, first of all, unmerited favor. Grace is God giving me something I don't deserve. You may say, there's no need for me to pray. I don't deserve God answering my prayer. That's why it's called God's grace. God gives us what we don't deserve. He loves us because of who He is, not because of who we are. And so grace is unmerited favor. But it's more than that. The grace of God is also an enabling strength. God can give you a strength that you cannot muster up in your emotion, that you cannot muster up in your body. God's grace is an enabling strength. Any Christian here today that's been saved a year, you understand the wonderful grace of Jesus that has helped you through a time of trial, and maybe not even till you went through it, did you look back and say, I sure am thankful for the grace of God. The songwriter said, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. And so His grace is a supernatural energy. It is a supernatural energy that God can give. Paul said this, I have found that in my weakness, His strength is made perfect. And he concluded in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Let me give you the sixth statement, and this is the purpose of the message this morning. The Bible says we find grace to help in time of need. The message I want you to take home today from the Word of God is this: God's grace never comes early, but it always comes in time. God's grace is always in time. By the way, my time and God's time is not always the same, but God's grace comes in time. Look at the words, if you will. Find grace to help in time of need. Now, you know, all of us deal with worries in life. There's not a Christian here that doesn't face things that they worry about. It means to wonder, how am I going to go through that? How am I going to overcome that? Or will I? Will that be the end of me? Will that be the end of my life? And so we have worries. Now, we're instructed not to worry or to let worry control us, but all of us face the sensations of fear and worry. Are you with me this morning? Do we agree that all of us face that sensation of fear and worry? Every age person faces that. A child may fear or worry. If you say, now don't forget, we have to go to the dentist Tuesday morning. Boy, I remember that always just gripped my heart with fear. I didn't want to go to the dentist. And my mom would say, do you want rotten teeth? Do I have to go to the dentist? But that fear, think about that. Every age person faces fear. A child faces fear. A teen may look at their school calendar and say, I have to give an oral report on Thursday. A fear grips their heart. You may be in a high school or college and you're looking at an upcoming exam and you fear, you worry if you know enough to pass that exam. And that worry sometimes is good as it causes you to prepare. But I'm saying everybody faces worry. Everybody faces fear. An adult may worry about job security. I talked to several folks in counseling this week, I believe three different ones yesterday. We talked about a life's profession and just talking about the will of God. Young men saying, "Preacher, I want to do God's will. I want to talk to you about, what do you think about this being God's will?" And some of them I said, and I told them different names of men in the church. I said, "You ought to talk to this man. He is in that business and he is successful at that. You ought to talk to this person." But they have a fear. They have a worry. Can I make it in life? Everybody faces fear. Everybody faces worry. A married couple, they may have a concern or a fear about marriage. And in our world today, how sad it is that marriage is fragile. God's intention is one man, one wife for a lifetime. That's God's intention, by the way. You can, by the grace of God, build a strong marriage that'll last for a lifetime. That's a fear. That's a concern. A couple with the children. Boy, in this world, we look at the world and the culture and we think, "Oh boy, I've got a task ahead of me rearing children in this world." As we get older, we think about death. We think about dying. There's not a day. In fact, more than once a day, will I get a text or a call from someone someone in the family has died, or someone has found that they have terminal cancer. When you think about that, and when you pray about that every day in your mind, and I do every day, I pray for many folks day after day. Sometimes you get a pain, you think, "Well, maybe I have cancer now. Maybe I'm facing that now." So all of us have fears. All of us have worries. Now the message is this: when does God's grace come? By the way, let me say this. This is so important. One of the things that helps me to enjoy every Sunday here at Clay's Mill Baptist Church and not to take for granted a single day or a single Sunday is knowing that one day will be my last day. I don't want to wait until I can see the end before I start enjoying it. I'm going to enjoy the journey. I'm going to shout when I get to heaven, but I'm going to shout on the journey. I'm going to enjoy this Sunday morning, March 17, 2024. I don't know how many Sundays I have. I pray that I have many as the Lord tarries his coming. I don't know how many I have, but I understand that one day will be the last day. It will be the last day, and it will be your last day. We need to enjoy today. So when does God's grace come? Here's the answer. End time. God's grace always comes in time. Let me give you this illustration. If you're facing a surgery, I've not had surgery. One small surgery on a tooth it was terrible. Let me tell you about it. It was just terrible. And I went to the dentist, and they said, "Now we have to drill through your tooth." I said, "Oh, that hurts, doc." He said, "I'm just telling you about it now." I said, "Well, it hurts to think about it." And they did an epicoectomy. I think I said that right. I hope I did. And I may have just cut my leg off. I don't know. But the dentist told me, "Here's what we're going to do." And the more they said, the more I was worried. The more they said, but you know what? They told me this. They said, "Now when you come in for the surgery," they said, "don't eat before you come in." I said, "How early do you do these surgeries? I want to be first on the list. If you can't eat, I don't want to be the last one in the day. I want to be first." And they said, "Don't eat, and you'll just sit down in the chair." And they showed me the chair, and they said, "We'll put an IV in your arm, and we'll say goodnight, and we'll wake you up in the morning." You know what I wanted? I wanted that pain medicine just when he was telling me about the surgery. You know when they gave it to me? End time. I never felt a thing. In fact, my boys, they were there to take me home. They were there to laugh at me. They were there to blackmail me is what they were there. They said, "Dad, you know what you said when you wake up?" I said, "No, I don't remember waking up." They said, "You told the gal," she wasn't the surgeon, but you told her, "You did a really good job on my surgery today. I want to thank you." But anyway, you know when they give the pain medicine? In time. Look at me. You know when God gives his grace? In time. You know when I want it? I want it when I worry. I want His grace for when I fear. God said, I don't give you grace for worry. I don't give you grace for fear. I give you a promise for that. I give you the grace in time of need. Now that's encouraging to me. That's encouraging to me to know that I may go through some times of concern. I may go through some times of fear. Hey, but God never lets me go through a trial. God never lets me go through a difficulty. God never lets me go through a valley without His wonderful grace that is sufficient. And His grace is always in time. His grace is always on time. Now, there are examples that we can find in the Bible. I want to show you some of them this morning. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Acts chapter 7. Go back a few chapters there, maybe 40 pages in your Bible to Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, we have a deacon, Stephen, who is preaching a message to a group of Jews that hate the preaching of Stephen. They're so under conviction while Stephen is preaching that they began to throw rocks at him. And in fact, Stephen is stoned to death for his preaching to these Jews. Let's look at some of it this morning. Acts chapter 7, and let's look at verse number 51. Here's how he began his sermon. "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears." How's that for a good morning? It's good to see you this morning. "Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it." Look at verse 54. "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Notice verse number 60. "And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." You say, "Preacher, how in the world did Stephen go from preaching that powerful and convicting sermon on their sin to the place that when they began to gnash on him with their teeth and they threw him outside the city and they began to throw rocks and stone him? Preacher, how did he stand that? How did he survive that? The grace of God. When did the grace of God come? Not before the sermon, not during the sermon, but the grace of God came in time. And Stephen, the last thing he said was, Lord, forgive them. He wanted them to have an understanding not only of their sin, but of the wonderful grace of God. And the grace of God came to Stephen in time. Now, when I was a boy, I would read about the martyrs. And I read a condensed version of the Fox's Book of Martyrs. How many of you have ever read the Fox's Book of Martyrs? And I read of how they would kill, how they would persecute and martyr Christians. And so many evil ways. And I would read about the price they paid for their faith in God. They were told, if you'll recant, we'll let you live, but if you don't recant, we will kill you. And they did it in so many different terrible and gross ways. And I remember fearing having to be a martyr for Christ. I read and I saw what communists had done to Christians, and I knew that communism was increasing in America and how that communism hated Christianity. And I feared being martyred, and I thought, Lord, I wouldn't want to recant of my faith. Lord, I would want to have enough faith that I would stand. Lord, when does your grace come? When does your help come? Look at it. There's the answer. End time. End time. I want you to hear what I'm going to say. The grace of God doesn't come in the time of worry. The grace of God doesn't come in the time of fear. The grace of God comes in time of need. Take your Bibles and go to the Old Testament book of Daniel in chapter 3. Daniel in chapter 3. Notice in Daniel chapter 3, we find another story of the grace of God that is needed, a time of death, a time of persecution and attempting to kill the servant of God. Notice Daniel chapter 3 and verse number 19. In Daniel chapter 3, they had built a large golden image that represented the king. The king gave instruction for all the people, when you hear the sound of the music, everybody has to bow down and they have to worship the image of the king. Everybody has to bow down and worship them. And the reason they were doing that, they said, we don't want anybody worshiping God. They look out over the crowd and here's three young men that are standing there and they're refusing to worship the golden image. By the way, you and I should not worship the image of Satan in this world. We shouldn't bow down to anything. Are you listening to me preach this morning? We shouldn't bow down to the world and to Satan, but we ought to give our allegiance to the God of heaven that saved our soul from our sin and from hell. Are you with me this morning? We shouldn't bow down. And these three fellows didn't bow down. I want you to notice what happens, verse number 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Have you ever heard the phrase, he was so mad he couldn't see straight? That's it right there. The form of his visage was changed. He couldn't see them as he saw. He was so full of fury. He was so angry he couldn't see straight because these boys wouldn't bow down and worship the image. And then the Bible says, therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. The question is asked, God, when does your grace come? I have a fear of being thrown in the fiery furnace. When does your grace come? I'm worried what's going to happen when we're thrown into the fiery furnace. Ah, but dear friend, the answer, when the grace of God comes, is always in time. God's grace is in time. God's grace is on time. Sometimes we get frustrated at God because His grace doesn't come for the fear. His grace doesn't come for the worry. No, sir, but His grace always comes, and it comes in time and on time. How many stories are like it in the Bible? John was sentenced to the island of Patmos. He said this, "For the testimony of the word of God, because I was a preacher of the gospel, they put me on the island of Patmos." It was a place of no vegetation. They put John out there so he would starve to death. That was his punishment, to starve to death on the island of Patmos. That's what the island was used for. Ah, but the Bible says this, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and I heard a voice behind me as of a mighty trumpet." When did God's grace come? Did it come at the sentencing of John? No. Did his grace come when they were transporting John to the island of Patmos? No. When did it come? It came in time. It came on time. And from the time that John was on the island of Patmos, that's where we received the entire book of the Revelation, from God's grace that came in time. How many times has God's grace come in time in your life in the past? Well, dear friend, today's no different, and tomorrow's no different. There are things that all of us dread to face in months and years to come. My dear friend, Brother Clay Tankersley, I prayed with him on Thursday morning. He said, "Oh, preacher," he said, "pray for Jackie." He knew the time was coming. He said, they don't give her much hope, and it looks like it's just a matter of time. And oh, listen to me, he dreaded that time to come. And last night, the time came at 10 o'clock. When you look at it ahead, you say, "I won't live through it. I can't live through it." You know when God's grace came? In time. It always comes in time. Brother Harris visited Brother Jameson in the hospital yesterday. And he's had pancreatic cancer and he's suffered from it terrible. He's been in a lot of pain. And we prayed for him week after week. And he's recognized this week that the time is coming, that he'll soon pass. He said to Brother Harris yesterday, "I now know what it means of God's comfort. His comfort has come." He said, "I want all of my friends to come and see me." And he's asking for family and friends to come and see him. And you know what he's telling them? He's telling them, God's grace is real. Trust Christ. If you don't know him as your Savior, trust him as your Savior, because his grace didn't come when you're afraid. His grace didn't come in the hurry. Oh, but it always comes on time. It always comes in time. And God's grace will carry us through. Let me say these statements and I'm finished. First of all, God knows the trials that are before us in his will. He knows what they are. We know from his word, and he tells us ahead of time, now God's grace is available in the trial. And when you come to the trial, you want to take your need, you want to take your burden to the Lord, and you want to say, "Lord, I need your help in the trial." And we understand, as we've not only experienced, but we understand from the promise of the Word of God, his grace always comes in time. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Maybe you're at a time right now, you say, "Preacher, I dread that day. I worry about that day. I have fears about this, or I have fears about that." You know what God's doing right now? God's grace is sufficient for this hour, isn't it? The purpose of my preaching is to say God's grace will be sufficient tomorrow too. God's grace will be sufficient, and it will always be in time, every time, God's grace. Stand with me if you will. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you're here this morning, you do not know Christ as your personal Savior. It is the unmerited favor of God, his grace, that can give you eternal life today. God will forgive you of your sin and will give you eternal life. He will give you a home in heaven. God's grace is sufficient for salvation right now. If you're here today and you're facing a trial, and maybe that trial, that time is coming close, as the doctor would describe, or the dentist, or the surgeon would describe. Here's what we're going to do. And when you come to the time of surgery, we'll give you the medicine. The medicine will help you through the surgery. God's grace is always given in time. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us today. And I pray for those that are in a time of great concern. And Lord, there's a great fear in their life. And Lord, we can't keep those fears from coming, but your promise of grace sure does help us to know that when those times come, your grace is always there in time. Bless our invitation this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.